Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 48 for September 4th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you listen to podcast, I'm also posting all episodes of the Timing Research shows as audio-only podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. So be sure to search for Timing Research there. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I've put the list together. If you're watching the video, you should see on from my screen right now the list for today. So we're going to get through as many of those as we can. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed this show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades. He should be joining us in just a minute here. I also have Larry Gaines and Jim Kenny. So, Larry, let's start with you. Okay. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself? And
all right. Well, thanks for having me here again today, David. Been actively trading in the markets for over 30 years. Started out my trading career trading oil cargoes, tanker cargoes of crude oil back in the 80s, and ran a real large oil trading group for over 10 years, one of the larger oil trading companies in the world. So great experience, learned a lot about all the different markets. And so I started my own company, Power Cycle Trading, back in about 2010. And it's an educational trading site that we kind of specify or really kind of specialize in options and using directional trading systems that we've developed. And then using options to trade the various different directional trade setups, you know, for better leverage and risk management. So a little background on myself, and thanks again for having me here. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Jim, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Jim Kenny. I provide the content over at optionprofessor.com, an educational firm on option trading. We've been doing this for decades. And basically, we try to educate people on how to use the options for cash flow purposes, as well as hedging purposes, and of course, limited risk speculation. And there's a lot of moving parts in options. So, you know, after educating people on options for decades, we find out that the DVDs are quite valuable to people that are trying to either learn about options or refresh information that is somewhat helpful as well.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I think Dean is with us now, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
All right. Hey, thanks for kicking it off. And, you know, sorry I was a little bit late. I told you I had to wrap up another presentation, but I am glad to be here. And it looks like we got Larry and Jim, huh?
Yeah. Hey, Dean.
My good old AYT buddies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, everybody knows the program here. It looks like we got a list of interesting stocks, some we've seen before. They've come back around on the list, so we'll check in on them here, see how it's going. And first one up here is Bank of America. And so looks like on my screen, Jim is the first icon. So, Jim, you get to go first. And then Larry, okay. You're first in the batting order. And then it's Larry, then it's me. So Bank of America, Jim.
Yeah, the financials, you know, they went up big in January, and they've been trying to get back up there and do something the rest of the year here. And people are trying to figure out what interest rates actually mean. Does higher interest rates mean that they can charge more, or does higher short-term interest rates mean they got to pay out more and it negates their profitability? Also, loan demand has been dodgy. So there's a few reasons why the stocks have had a little bit of difficulty here. I watch Bank of America. It looks like it's got a lot of support around 30 bucks, and it looks like it may have some upside potential. The 10-year note is trading above 290 again. So if higher interest rates are supposed to be helpful for the banks, then that might be helpful. Other stocks I keep an eye on are Goldman Sachs. Tried to rally up towards 245 and slid back down into the 230s now. So there seems to be some resistance up here. Personally, I own and have owned for a long time after that big drop, Wells Fargo, over 3% dividend when I picked it up. And I figure Buffett has done research on it. So I don't feel too uncomfortable holding that, getting paid over 3% while I do it. But Bank of America is a popular stock, and as long as it stays above 30, you know, I would think it looks constructive.
Constructive. Okay.
Meaning I'd hold on to it, or if I wanted to expand my universe in financials, it wouldn't be a bad one to hold on to, because 31 minus 30 is not that much of a differential.
Larry, does it look constructive to you?
Yeah, as long as it, well, you know, we've got that big pullback, but for me, I'd wait a little bit, but right now it's right here on this 382 retracement level. So, you know, holding in here around 30, 50 or so. So I would wait, let it see if it can consolidate. If you're looking for this as a trade, trade. I would just be letting it kind of consolidate sideways a little bit, see if it can hold this level right currently where it is, get above 31. That's 50% retracement. And just looking at it from a trade standpoint, gets back above this 31, holds in there a little bit, then I could see it pushing back towards those prior highs as a trade. So right now, I'd just wait. I'd watch it. And if it breaks this 382 right here, then it's down to that level that Jim was talking about, right around 30 bucks. And you can see a lot of price action in there. A lot of huge moving average support right here. So a lot of clusters of moving averages. So good support there at 30. But as a trade, you want to see it kind of push here, consolidate, hold over this 31. Then you could get potentially moving back towards the upside.
Okay. Yeah, I think it, it's important. Each of us talked a little bit about what our focus is. But, if you're a value, investor, long-term buy and hold, you like yield and you don't care what share price does, you want to hold through the yields. Or if you're a swing trader, I think Larry and I are primarily swing traders. We're just trying to catch short-term high probability moves, right? So it depends on what you're trying to do, whether I like the stock or not. So I'm primarily a swing trader and I don't really like it. It had a great super clear market starting in July of last year. You can see big dramatic wave three move up, when the thing doubles, I think we can call that dramatic. Nice retracement, went on from there from 24 up to 32, another nice move. Now it's kind of going sideways and we got this prior high as a resistance sitting above the 200. It might be support. I think we got some drift, and I'm not interested in drifting stocks as a swing trader. So nothing there for me right now. Let's see what Alibaba's got going on, though. Sometimes Alibaba's exciting. I think Jack Ma is he's not Baba. He's JD, isn't he, or something like that.
Yeah. No, I think Jack Ma is Baba, isn't he?
He's Jack.
He was in a little trouble. I saw a headline last week. Huh?
Yeah, looking at Baba, obviously it's very much tied into the China story with the tariffs and everything else, it looks like, because it's been on the defensive just like the Shanghai Index has been ever since the tariff talk went through. And it's gone from the 210 area all the way down here to 170. It was down 2.6% today alone. It does have some lows down there at 164 that it's trying to hold on to. And I'm just going to check a couple of moving averages here, but it's certainly on the defensive. A lot of people love this company because, it is supposedly the Google of China, right? So basically, the moving averages are telling me there were 183 and 186. They're inverted to the downside. The volume's been picking up on the drop. And so probably would want to see it get above the averages and start getting the boat turned around before I wanted to do much with it. If you're speculating, if you wanted to defend against 164, you could try to play that game. And if any news came out that was positive, there is 4% of the stock short. So maybe you get some short cover. But the key lines in the sand would be the 164 52 week low now. And then, of course, these moving averages 183, 186. So above 183, 186, maybe it could be picking up momentum. Maybe the news has changed on it a bit and maybe it would be worthwhile. Or if you're a scalper trader and you want to defend against 164.
Okay, Larry, the Google of China, what do you think?
The Google of China is, currently at some major support here. So would not be doing anything. I wouldn't want to short it right here. You can see this on a weekly chart, see all that price action, all that support down here. So you can see we've came down here back in December 2017 to this 164 level, approached it again back in April, bounced, and we're currently sitting on it right here. So I would wait. Now, if we do start getting a break here, now, the more you test key support and resistance levels, it's kind of like you can think of a big tree limb or something. You keep chopping, chop, chip, 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 weakens it and finally breaks. So not totally surprising if this was to break, and if it breaks and closes, starts closing below this kind of 164.5, then you could get another nice little short for another big move down here to this major moving average, just 100 period moving average on a weekly. So this thing is on the ropes. I would not be shorting it until we get some separation though below these key support levels here. So if somebody wanted to come in with some big size, this would be an area where they would start looking for a counter trend type trade, and then you've got to get back above these moving averages to the upside. So I don't see anything here as far as a trade for that I'd be looking at, other than potentially a short trade here, but a little bit nervous here to sell it right on this major support. So I would look at it though, like I said, if I get a separation below these areas here for tight short with the good tight stops, that would be the way I would be looking at it.
I'm right there with you. First thing I noticed when I pulled this chart, I can see that I drew this line here, and it's right at, like you said, right around 164, 165. It just cannot get below that currently. currently can it. It's just, that's a hard deck. What's interesting though, is we do currently have a really nice pattern of a low, lower high. I got the wrong thickness on my pin. Let me fix this. Okay. We got a nice low, lower high, right? We're under the 200-day moving average. We're under the Ichimoku cloud. If we do break that, yeah, baby, we got probably a little momentum going, but it's got to break it. Otherwise, like, you know, like the last 10 times, it may just rest there and go back up. So that's worth keeping an eye on for sure. That's pretty interesting. All right. Jim, what do you think of Jeff's company?
Yeah, well, there's nothing not too much to like. How does all-time highs today sound? That sounds pretty good if you're the owner, right? And 2050 it hit, and then it closed at 2039. On the 10-day chart that I'm looking at, you know, if it between now and the end of the week starts getting under 2020, then it might be rolling over just a little bit after this big run up. And it does have a gap way down at 1940. So for whatever reason, if we turn the market over on tech, a break under 2020 and a break under 2000, it might be indicating an attempt to maybe fill that gap. If the news were to change, you know, if the news on unemployment Friday or some other type of news came out that was non-friendly, because, you know, Trump is only a tweet away from saying he's going to break up these companies for all we know. So the bottom line is it's a very strong company. It looks great. Let's just take a quick look at the moving average, because my theory is when it gets extremely far away from the 200-day average, it's susceptible to correction, no matter what the stock's name. And let's just take a quick look and see where that number comes in. Give me one.
$500 away.
It is. It's 1530, though. And what does 2050 minus? That's 1,000. No, it's not 1,000. Help me with the math, Olympia, Washington. Help me with the math. It's
$500.
It's $500.
Yep.
Yeah, about $520, right? So what's 520? So it's about 30% above its 200-day average. Would that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the region where you could get a hit. So, you know, if I was specking on it, I'd keep an eye on the 2050 high that it made today, and I would see if it shows any fractures in it. And since it's so far away from the 200-day, if you wanted to see if it could take a shot for a move down and use that 2050 today's high as your line in the sand and see what happens. That does seem like it's pretty far away from the 200-day right now.
It's on a tear. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, so Amazon obviously has been a fantastic move up, and but super extended. I would not be buying it here except for, you know, kind of a really short-term trade if you've got some kind of intraday setup that you could maybe get a good edge getting in. But as far as, you know, putting new money to work and getting to building a big position, I would not be touching it up here. You can just see all the different moving averages, how far extended you are from everything, and, you know, better places to risk your money than in something that's already had this huge move. So it's hit its $1 trillion level here at 2050. That was a $1 trillion company. So that's, you know, what you want to see is that it pull back and then see if it can get some consolidation, like, you know, anywhere from here 2000 or even down to this 382, and then start it from there as a new trade. But for right here, would not do anything on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm with you both at these, you know, nosebleed levels. You know, I do not chase mature trends. I wait for a pullback and a new entry point, you know, and, you know, amazing company. You remember back in the 2007, 2008, you know, when the financial crisis was happening and all this, you know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, companies that were too big to allow to fail. I think the talk now between, you know, Amazon and Google and some others, you know, because of their their huge size and their outweighed, you know, their out of proportion influence and control over information, you know, Google and Facebook and a few others, right? They may be too big to be allowed. Yeah, that's an interesting debate that I think we're going to be having going forward, but that'll just have to play out. But I wouldn't try and chase Amazon up at this level, though. I do buy nearly everything there. They got it going on, that's for sure. CDE, what is CDE? It looks familiar. Let's see. Survey says.
I thought it was a silver mining, but Coeur d'Alene is a silver mining, I guess. But isn't CDE used to be Coeur d'Alene?
It's Coeur mining. Yeah. I know this for sure. Coeur d'Alene is one of the most beautiful places on earth. I don't know about this mining company, but what do you think of the chart?
I think they've been around for a long time. Anyway, yeah, the metals obviously have been under pressure. Very low inflation, very strong dollar, not exactly the recipe for higher metal prices. And of course, a lot of different ways to participate in metals now. So the coin business, I'm sure, is a little bit rocky with all the alternative ways to possess the gold and silver. I thought this was silver more than gold, but my machine's saying gold, so let's play it that way. Gold's having a little bit of a tradable low here at about 1160 or 1170, whatever it hit recently. And so it had a bounce, and now it's sliding back down a little bit again. The things in metals that look compelling to me is the silver, because the ratio between gold and silver is at 82 to 1, which I consider to be an excessive level. And the price of platinum being over $400 discount to the price of gold, you know, that seems kind of interesting as far as that relationship. So in the metals area, the platinum being such a discount to gold, and the silver being the price relationship to gold, those two metals are more interesting to me. This stock here, I think if you buy it, you're buying an option, and you'd probably buy it to hold on to it like an option that you can only lose $5 on, and you hold it until the paper currency goes out of business, which some of the people owning the metals are waiting for. But until it does, it's a rough racket because it doesn't pay any interest and it isn't growing. So a couple of problems with the mining companies tied to the metals, and they're not going away right now anyway. But this thing here, the 50-day average is at $7 about, and the 200-day is at 76. So that's a pretty excessive, that's a pretty big drop underneath the 200-day. So again, it would suggest that you're getting very, very oversold. So if you're a specker and you want to take a shot down here, find a line in the sand you think is established as a turning point, maybe a weekly low that's surrounded by higher weekly lows or something like that. And you could take a stab down here and see if you might be able to get some kind of a turn. But the direction on this thing is obviously pronounced to the downside.
Pronounced. Very, very pronounced. Having lost nearly half its value this year.
Right.
Okay. Larry, is there a play on a
Not for the way I like to look at the charts and technicals. Nothing here I'd be doing on CDE. Again, be a better places to put your money to work. You can see it's broken this major support here, and it is getting way oversold. But I can't see any great reason to buy this unless you already have it and you want to, think about averaging down. But I don't ever advise that either. So I would do nothing here. You can see this is a very tight consolidation phase, and it broke down here. So this is a 786. So it could easily end up back down here at around $2. So nothing for me.
Nothing for Larry. That's interesting. You made your comment about lowering the average cost basis. I just think I know traders do it. I think it's a hideous strategy. If you're playing blackjack and the dealer's got a 16 shown and you got an 11, double down every time. But if you're in a trade and it goes down and it's against you, I don't know why you'd want to add to that. I just don't increase your risk. Anyway, if this thing could find a bottom, and I'm just looking at it, I'm seeing if what the short ratio is. I'm kind of interested in that. And the short ratio, they don't have the data. If it were to, if we were to see a little support here and a high, higher low, new high, reversal, what I like about these low price stocks, it doesn't take much, right? 50 cents is a 10% move on this stock, right? If it does find a bottom and show a clear sign of heading up, 10% is not a bad move, right? Try to get a 10% move on Apple right now. So it's worth watching. It's not there yet. There is not a technical setup for me there yet. But I'm certainly.
And the short interest is only about 5%. So that's nothing to write home about.
Yeah. So you don't have a short squeeze setup, which is too bad, because those can add some real velocity to a short squeeze rally, a dead cat bounce, if you will. But it's not there yet. NVIDIA, of course, can't do a webinar without looking at NVIDIA.
Yeah, NVIDIA's up again today, right all-time high again, 285.22, and had a bear trap after the earnings came out, went down to 240, and that didn't last very long, and it's already up $45 off of that price. So it definitely has the strength going forward. It's obviously one of the leaders in the tech sector, and it's one of the ones people really love to own. So, despite the news coming out on the earnings that was not that exciting to people, they flipped on that pretty fast, or they covered their shorts or whatever they did. You've got about $50 above, getting to be $50 above its 200-day average. So it is getting a little bit overbought here, but nothing that is off the charts. The volume has been drying up. 50-day volume is 10 million shares a day. 200-day volume average is 13 million. So, you know, the volume is drying up as the market's going up. And, you know, sometimes that's an indication of exhaustion. We'll have to see. The further it gets away from 236, though, it's not becoming less risky. So another leg up towards 300, that might be a more interesting area, you know, to be a seller.
Okay. Larry?
Yeah, right now, if you're looking at playing this, it's definitely kind of more of a shorter term type trade setup. You've had a great run up. You can see that huge explosion it had from this weekly chart here back on the August 20th. And then we've got a follow through here. These are extensions for Fibonacci. So I could see, you know, a move. If you get a good move, the next target will be right here around 290. So, you know, about $5 up. But the big move has been made, you know. And so right now I could see this starting to kind of consolidate, you know, start to churn sideways, try to, you know, build kind of a base or a foundation and then plug, you know, push higher. So the semiconductor, they're starting to look pretty good again. You can see that a lot of the stocks in that sector are starting to perform and been doing real well. So I would just wait for this thing to see if you can get a little bit more consolidation and then look for a kind of a lower time frame setup. So would not be buying it here. Definitely wouldn't sell it. Be looking for an opportunity to get back into it on the long side, but want to be patient, let it pull back a little bit. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add. You know, I've said before, I just don't chase mature trends. I'm a swing trader, not a trend trader. I'll stay with a trend once I get in it. But this bus left town, baby. Apple, of course, Apple. So another in the $1 trillion club. Amazon touched it briefly. Apple's solidly there. These two companies individually, $1 trillion of market cap. I heard a stat larger than the GDP of like 4/5 of the countries on Earth. Amazing. All right. You an Apple buyer, Jim?
Yeah. Well, no, I think if you're an owner, enjoy the ride. You got a September 12th show that's supposed to get us a bigger screen, which historically has been very good for the company, and maybe a larger watch to look at and things like that. So they're bidding it up in advance of that, and they're bidding it up pretty good here. We're about almost 30% above its 200-day average. And again, similar to NVIDIA, the volume seems to be drying up. I don't know if that matters at all, but I, you know, I find it noteworthy when, you know, you're when you're 20% or more less volume on a 50-day basis than a 200-day basis. And the market's been rallying or declining during that period. So we've had a nice big advance in NVIDIA and in Apple on volume that has been lighter on a 50-day average than a 200-day average. So only time will tell if that means anything. And they're both getting a little bit further away from their 200-day average. So I think any more leg up on these here, you know, would again make them more interesting to look for a sell point for a pullback or a correction. And again, there's no evidence of that right now. So you'd have to monitor it and see if you can get some setup that looks like a an exhaustion has been hit. I tell you one thing, when you look at the ETFs and the amount of money in ETFs, you know, there's about five names that are in every single ETF. And if those five names started to roll over and people wanted to get their money back, they would test the liquidity of the markets quite a bit because, you know, if people started redeeming ETFs, I don't know they're going to do it anytime soon. But at some point, you know, we've been around long enough to know that people do want their money back at some point, right? Whether it be loans on real estate or stocks, they want money. So, you know, if there was an en masse selling of any of these ETFs, you know, I don't know how much liquidity there would be in some of these stocks because a lot of wealth in the markets are concentrated into very few amount of companies. And I think that's always dangerous.
Yeah, interesting comment. I read an article about 6 weeks ago that said actually for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, compared to the dot-com bust and the financial meltdown, that the concentration is far less by magnitudes in a few companies, that it's actually well distributed compared to the last couple cycles. So that's, you know, for what it's worth. Larry, what do you think of Apple?
Again, another one that's to me overextended, that doesn't offer a whole lot of great momentum to the upside. It's already had a big, huge move. So it could still, you know, obviously grind higher and higher, but it's not one that the kind of set setup that I like to look for, which has potential for momentum for a big, big break. So the last time we were into this Apple from a long standpoint was right here. You can see right in this area here where it kind of made that bull flag. So had that move up, consolidated here for about a week, week and a half, and then had the next nice pop to the upside. But since then, you know, it's been kind of a little bit, you know, kind of a small grind up. And right now it's not giving any kind of pullback on a consolidation. So nothing here I'd do. That was the last time we set up anything was right in here.
That looked like a pretty good move too. You caught a nice one.
Yeah.
I feel like a broken record. I wish I had something interesting to say other than this is just like a couple others we looked at, Amazon, Nvidia, now Apple. It's the same answer for me. I'm a swing trader and this has swung.
the swinging happened at 180 or 190, right?
Yeah. So we'll wait for the next swing, right? Hey, we're about halfway through. Let's pause from the list. And I don't think, I know none of us has said on any of these, we've been through six symbols now. Nobody said, you know, OMG, buy that or sell that at the open tomorrow. Right. So why don't we share what we do like? What would you trade at the open tomorrow, Jim?
Yeah, I don't have anything for the open tomorrow, but I have been keeping an eye on the gaming stocks over in China, Wynn Resorts and Las Vegas Sands. You know, they've been on the defensive quite a bit. And, you know, if there was to be any movement over in China with the U.S., I thought that those companies might benefit significantly because they have such a heavy influence in Macau. So, you know, like we were saying, you know, on Apple, it could be a buy the rumor, sell the fact. So why don't we see how it does the rest of the week and see if you can find some formation that looks like it might be rolling over. And then there could be a swing to the downside in Apple at some point because, again, people are obviously bidding it up in advance of this September 12th meeting, which I guess is next week, right? Yeah. So, you know, I don't have anything that's slamming right now because I see the financials are having a little bit of a difficult time. The industrials, which I was looking at, are having a difficult time. The 10-year note is going above 290 right now. So, and some of these stocks that we mentioned that do look like they're extended have not shown any formation for hitting them at all. So, you know, I just, I'm trying to look at where the puck's going to be right now. And I'm looking for a better setup than I'm seeing on some of these things right this second. That Bank of America thing, you know, if you were bullish on the financials, though, you know, that is pretty tight to where the support is. So that's somewhat interesting. If you think the financials are going to have a leg up here in the fourth quarter, you know, this would be the neighborhood that it might come from.
Okay. Larry, what do you got your finger on the trigger on here?
Well, yeah, I've been looking around for something deep. Decent for a long trade setup and have not seen anything, you know, over the last week because everything's so extended. We've had so many great trade setups, you know, week, 2 weeks back, and now they're kind of extended. So we've been through a lot of those here today. We talked about, you know, the Apples and et cetera, like those. So one thing that we did, we've been watching and we've been in and out of a couple times here is Skyworks SWKS. And so it's just kind of channeling down lower. And you can see we had this spike low here and then it retraced back up into the moving average. And that 618 retracement and failed. So this is still looking weak, looking for this to continue lower. If it can take out this little spike low back here at 89, next target will be right here at this current, that spike low 88 and potentially maybe right back down there. So this one is one for a short trade setup. So that's Skyworks.
Okay. That looks pretty interesting. I'm showing the daily chart on gold futures. You know, I think Jim mentioned it earlier, pretty much the whole year it's been in a butt slide, you know, from 1380 down to 1170, pretty good slide, but we're seeing something new. Now, we've had a few fake outs for bottoms in the past, but after this bottom here and this pull up here, if we see, you know, so we got a low, we got a higher high, we get a higher low and a new high. If we get a pattern like this, I'm going to be going long on gold. And we got a target zone, you know, somewhere in here, up around 1280. That's the middle of the Fibonacci retracement zone. Got to see this happen first. So we got it. I got a little, if we go up from here and take out this previous high, that's Charles Dow wrote about that in the late 1890s. And he's been right ever since when he talked about, you know, trend theory and what makes a trend and how do you know when it started. And that's that's how you know, high, higher, low, new high. So we're going to watch that really close. Not quite ready yet, but I got my eye on that one for sure. So that's a future look. I was having trouble finding long trades as well. Found a couple of good shorts, though. And, you know, last two weeks, we were long in a couple of cannabis stocks. We did really well on those. The short trade we are in right now is just got short today. Terex company. Look at this nice impulsive move down. There's a correction. We're heading down. It's getting ready to go. This thing's got some momentum to the downside. So we're liking TEX short. And another one, I'll give two. AT&T. I'm short AT&T. Just got short on the 30th and it's creeping its way down. It's in a continued downtrend. And here's the idea of a swing trade, right? This thing swings big. It goes up, it swings down. It goes higher low, low, lower high, lower low, lower high. Here we go to a new lower low. And so down, probably under $30. So T-Mobile looks good. There's another short. Okay, that was fun. Let's get back on track. Tesla.
Where are we at? Tesla.
Yeah. So
I just had one in front of me on the road this morning.
You know,
I was looking at it and I was going to say, is that the new future or is that the modern version of the DeLorean? I'm trying to figure out what. Yeah. Is this the wave of the future, or will we be talking about him like we were talking about John DeLorean decades ago?
You know, the cars are cool. There's no question. The cars are cool.
Yeah.
Can they make a business out of this thing? You know, it's...
The guy seems like a little bit of a wild man who's running it, right?
Wow.
I'm just talking opinion, obviously, on everything I say. But my opinion is that he seems to be a kind of guy who, doesn't care about anything but the concept and... he's got them on the road. There are people buying them and, all that kind of stuff. It's just from a valuation basis, you know, it's hard to figure exactly where it's going. And it's certainly all over the place. And now it's in the lower echelon of where it's been in the year, you know, in the 240, 280 area, whatever. This is not something that I'd participate in because it's a total jumping on a guy's bandwagon and hoping that he's going to take you to the promised land because the numbers right this second don't make any sense at all.
And you go post those comments on some of the bulletin boards where they talk about it and you'll probably get death threats. They will explain how you just don't get it, right?
Yeah.
You just don't get it. Right? It's the future.
I heard that. Didn't you hear that story about we don't need profits? We've got eyeballs. We're just counting eyeballs down here. And that was the .com boom, right? We've got eyeballs, we don't have profit.
Tesla's got a bigger market cap than GM by a big margin has yet to show a dollar of profit. So there we go. What do you think?
Difference between this guy and like Amazon is obviously Amazon's net is so wide that you can get crazy valuations because, you know, all that stuff that he's selling, you know, most everybody will buy something. Here, you've got a specific car at a specific price and there's only X amount of people that are going to buy it. So although he might have the vision and all that kind of stuff of a Bezos or an Apple guy, you know, he just doesn't have a product that has that wide of a net. And so you can't be as crazy with the valuation and the spending money because your product is not as pervasive as an Amazon, an Apple or something like that. Anyway, just to give you quick numbers, 318 is the 200-day average. So it's underneath that. 50-day average is 324. So it's underneath that. And the volume is about 20% higher lately while it's been declining. So all of that stuff is kind of dodgy. If you're a trader and you want to go against this 280 number, I guess there's somebody who might want to do that going against the flow right here because it has bounced out of that 280 area a number of times.
Larry, you want to ride the lightning?
Yeah, well, if you just don't look at the name, okay, so pretend like you don't know what this chart is. I mean, if you just looked at the price action, if I was going to do anything here, I'd be looking to set up a short trade, but it is Tesla. So, you know, you get a lot of volatility from it, but you know, if it breaks through this level here, this 286, which is down testing again, chip, you know, breaks that, then look for a move down here to 275 pretty fast, big, fast move down to 275. So this one would be one to, you know, if you wanted, again, don't look at the name Tesla, but if it starts separating in a closing basis, this one would be worth taking a shot on a short side with a tight stop, knowing that, you know, what you're dealing with. But it could easily get down here to this next level of 275 real fast.
I agree. And I think, you know, I'm typically looking for some kind of wave formation or something like that. I think just looking for these support levels to get broken. And then what's the next one? That's the way to trade this one. And just don't let Elon know your short-term trading, particularly to the downside, because he will call you out on Twitter. He does not like it. That's too bad, though, right?
Yeah.
Free country, right. Free market. And right now, it is a publicly traded company, so let's do what we want. VIX. I find the VIX to be so interesting. I don't trade it. And I'm always interested that people find the VIX to be a predictive thing, that there's some relationship. And if the VIX does this, then the market's going to do that. I kind of look at it differently, just personally. I think that's kind of like looking at the speedometer to try and figure out what the gas pedal is going to do. That's my take. I think the VIX is a result of what happened, not a predictor. That's my thing. But Jim, what do you think about trading the VIX?
With options, obviously, you have to be aware of the VIX, but it's part of the soup. It's not the only ingredient. You know what I mean? And it does tell you what has been, because I think everything tells you what has been. If I can find the indicator, it tells me exactly what's going to happen, like the Notre Dame indicator, I'd be using it. So everything is history. As soon as we say something and as soon as we see something, it's history. So that's got to be known for everybody right off the bat. Now, why is this sometimes a good predictor? Because, you know, if it's between 10 and 13 area, it's considered very low. And if it's above 20, 25, it's considered very high. And equilibrium lately seems to be around 15. So that's on the VIX, not this VXX thing. But, you know, the VIX did go down into the 11s and then went to 12. And now it's in 13. So it's matriculating back towards what I consider the mean, which is 15. If you get above 15 or 16, then probably a more serious correction could be expected. But it has had a hard time getting above 20. That's the VIX VIX. So this thing here right now seems to be trying to turn up a little bit, but you're going to have to see like the S&P, you know, take out like 28.75 or something like that to get this VIX moving. 28.50. It's going to have to go something like that to get that VIX moving. Otherwise, it's going to meander. And if it's meandering, it's a possibility that the stock market keeps going and going and going, because a lower VIX, you know, is not a negative for stocks unless it starts breaking up like it's trying to do, but it's not really doing a great job right now. Let me just look at these moving averages real quick to tell you where it might be jumping above it. The volume on this was 34 million shares today. Well, I'm not trading it, but apparently 34 million other people are trading it, right? So you're 200
or 34
people with a lot of money, right? Okay, so anyway, the 200 days at 38, so it's getting a little on the oversold side, and the 50 day is 34. So it's clearly in a downward path, and that's why the stock market has obviously been an upward path, because it's a little bit of a contrary indicator. And the only thing you could say is it's getting a little bit extended, because it's about $9 under it, which in terms of percentage is about 23% underneath it. So it's gotten a little bit on the oversold basis down here. But unless this S&P starts breaking some of these support levels a little bit, this thing is going to be in a quandary.
Okay. Do you trade the VIX, Larry?
From time to time, we'll just do the VIX. And that one is just we'll do some call spreads, you know, out in time, just to, you know, when you get real low, like say right now, I was just kind of looking at it. You can get some real cheap options you can buy on the VIX, you know. So if you get a setup where you think you could get a pop volatility, you know, to the upside, and again, it's going to be tied to breaking down of the S&P, right? So it's like, you know, what's wagging the tail there, the S&P or the VIX? So if you have a hunch, or if you think based on your indicators or based on, you know, what you trade, that the S&P is going to have, you know, is at a key support level, and it looks like there's a good high probability for it to break support, then the VIX is a great way to take advantage of that for real cheap option plays. So if that happens, then what I like to do is kind of a pretty simple setup. You just go, if it's trading, you know, wherever it's trading at the money, just buy like a dollar higher and do a call spread and do further out, and you can get, you know, 30 cents or 40 cents max risk. risk, and you know, you have potential to make a really big, huge return on your at risk. So I like to do it that way. And right now I don't see that. I don't see that setting up. So I'd be looking at, like, you know, in conjunction, I'd be looking at the SPY or SPX, and does it look like they're going to crater? Right now, it doesn't look to me like they're going to crater. It's just kind of a drift lower, you know. But if you were thinking or making the, you know, making an assumption on the market cratering, then the VIX is a great way to play it. But right here, I just see it kind of maybe drifting down into this level. And then you've got people that want to buy back into the market. So I'm not seeing a huge collapse in the market. We could easily drift down here, you know, just into this level of 285, but a collapse, I don't see it. And if you thought there was going to be a collapse, the VIX is a great way to do it. Get buy real cheap options and play that kind of scenario.
It seems also there could be some rotation out of Europe and Asia continuing into the U.S. because the DAX to me looks like it's holding on for dear life, and the Chinese stock market is rolling over. So there could be some people rolling out of Europe and the Asia markets and hitting the U.S., figuring that these tariffs are really going to goof up their economies, and the U.S. would be the winner in it, or at least temporarily look like the winner.
Interesting. You know, earlier this year, there was a VIX-related ETF that blew up and, you know, basically vanished. And when that happened, it made me step back. And I've just made a new rule. I don't trade ETFs that aren't based on tangible assets. I used to trade the VIX. And I just said, you know, there's so many other good things. And I don't trade leveraged ETFs anymore. And I don't trade anything that's based on an intangible like the VIX. So I just don't trade it. And yeah, that's my choice. There's other stuff to trade. Plenty of other stuff.
Yeah, Dean, you were finding out that they don't trade really one for one with what's going on. Well, their pricing mechanisms are a little bit dodgy as far as trying to figure out, you know, exactly how they're priced out, right?
Yeah. And ultimately it's not based on a tangible asset.
Right.
SPY is, GLD is. So like I said, that's my choice. I know lots of people trade it successfully. Hats off. I just choose. There's thousands of other instruments to go trade. I can always find something that I'm comfortable with. I think that's something I teach in my trading. I guess you guys would probably agree, is whatever people are trading, they got to be comfortable with. It shouldn't keep you up at night. And if it does, go do something else. So that's my thing. When would be right now. What do you think of when, Jim?
Well, like I was saying earlier, you know, this is one of the two, this and the Sands are the ones that I'm looking at because they are getting discounted down pretty good. Again, because of the, I think my opinion is the Macau situation. And, you know, things get hairy enough. Lord knows what happens over to their properties. Today, again, down almost over 3.5% today alone, bouncing a little bit up in the aftermarket. Recent lows are the 138 area. And so they are, you know, that's the place where they're going to try to hold on. If it takes that out, then, you know, you got further downside to go. Right now, I would think that, you know how like that gold was, it gave you a rally, then a pullback, and then you're hoping for another rally. Well, this rally would be above 150. And so if we were to get above 150, then maybe the winds of change are blowing, and then it might make sense to get in because you'd have a little momentum on your side. And 156 is the 50-day average. So it might make sense to see if you can at least get above the 150 area, unless you're just looking for a quick trade. And if you're looking for a quick trade, you know, see versus the 138 low versus where we are now. It's getting pretty close to that, and see if that's worth defending against. But, you know, like I say, for short-term traders, 138, 143 is not too bad of a differential. And for longer-term traders, you know, trying to wait to see if it gets momentum above 150 and maybe some news that's positive wouldn't be the worst thing in the world as well.
Okay. Larry.
Yeah. So, yeah, with Wynn, again, it's one of these that is sitting right here on major support. So, kind of like Tesla. So, if you start getting a separation on a closing basis below this kind of 138, call it, you know, 137, give it a little room, then it could be down here pretty fast to this, you know, last major support level back around 125 or so, where you see these weekly moving averages. So, this is a 100 period moving average right here. So, I would not be shorting it here, because this is a place where if it's going to hold, it needs to hold right here, like that number you're talking about, this 138 level. And if it holds here, you could get some kind of, you know, who knows, the catalyst that could push it. And then it has a retracement rally back to 152. If that breaks, then you could get a nice retracement rally up here all the way to, you know, 166 on that level. So this is kind of a an area where you just want to watch. And if you do, though, get a closing on a on a closing basis, then you could take a shot for the downside move fall through.
Yeah, I agree with Jim on this one. This was a pretty classic Elliott wave pattern here. If we look back, you know, from 2017 until now, until current. Excuse me, I had to sneeze there. Hope I muted in time. So look at this move starting at the beginning of 17. This is a clear wave three. Here's wave one, two, three. Huge move up to $200. Super nice A, B, C, wave four, right into this Fibonacci retracement zone. It's running out of momentum. You see the down moves are getting smaller. I think Jim's right. You would watch for this thing to start breaking above prior highs and see if it's going to head up into a continuation of that original trend. It has not proven it yet. It could go deeper, but I would not try to short it here. I think we've all said that. I would wait for proof of next move up, and it's not here yet, but you could anticipate it and be watching for that, and that could be a good one.
That's I think a couple of other things, just as an aside, you know, for every action, there is a reaction, and maybe we haven't really seen all of it. Like on the tax cuts, you know, when you give away 40% of your revenue, that's an action. And I don't think we know exactly what the reaction is going to be in the economy and the fiscal policy and the interest rates and all that kind of stuff from that very, very big action, giving away 40% of your revenue as the government. And this trade war and tariffs, you know, this is not a game show either. And there's serious money, serious relationships, serious stuff going on here. And I don't know that we're 100% sure exactly how this all shakes out. And is there any irresponsible nature to these major changes of taxes and tariffs? You know what I mean? Because these are big things that are going on. You know, when you do big things, sometimes there's a consequence to them. You know what I mean? And I don't know that the jury's out. So there could be a lot of volatility, you know, in these markets coming as far as China and Europe is concerned, because like I say, they are all pretty heavily on the defensive right now, and a little push in the back on the DAX, you know, the German stock market, and another little push in the back on the Shanghai, and things could get a little hairy over there. You know, Baba's selling off pretty good today as well, so it does look like the Chinese stocks are selling off pretty good, and I know the German stocks were selling off, so I think it could get a little wild here in the month of September. We'll have to see what goes on.
Yeah, you know, I've been trading 25 years now, and I cannot recall a time where there was not uncertainty. There's always been something on the horizon that was, you know, potentially cataclysmic. What I do know is we can make money if the market goes up, and we can make money if the market goes down, if we've got a system that's tried and true, and we have the discipline to follow it and not start betting the farm on hunches, but to trade a system and rules and
a discipline.
And discipline to follow it. And, yep. you know, if the market does go down, you know, it takes the steps up and it takes the elevator down. We can make a ton of money in a falling market in a disciplined way. So it's going to go down.
It could be a melt up that they're talking about in the fourth quarter, because maybe the German and the Chinese roll over because of the tariffs and everybody plows into the U.S. So like you say, when you have a discipline, you have an approach. Obviously, those are just sidebars that we're talking about. And right. What do you call it? It could cause volatility. It could be positive volatility as well.
Right. And, you know, the thing about the market is it moves. It goes up and it goes down.
Yeah. I just don't see a flat time ahead.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to have to worry about boredom in the next 90 days.
And, you know, you talked about several stocks, you know, with a bleed off in volume. I think we're through the dog days of summer. That may have a role as well. The institutional players are out, you know, yep. out at Martha's Vineyard or wherever they go.
Right.
So, you know, I think we're coming out of summer and we're probably going to see more volatility just as a natural consequence of, you know, more participants back into the market. We're heading into the midterms. That's going to get exciting.
Right.
We got time for one more. And it's Pepsi. Pepsi and Coke, you know. I got to tell this anecdote. I remember in a business school, microeconomics, our professor, final exam, he said, tell me what business Coke and Pepsi are in. And if you tell me that they're in the business of selling colored sugar water, you're going to fail this course. what do you guys think of Pepsi? The stock.
My very crude fundamental analysis was, I've been to a few places here, and someone who's with me was ordering a Coke, and they said, we only carry Pepsi. So I don't know if that means anything. As far as the stock is concerned, it was doing great. It went all the way up towards 120, and it has rolled over a little bit. Let's take a look at the technicals on the 50 and the 200 day and see if it's telling us anything.
That's their strategy, by the way. That's why Pepsi bought Taco Bell and Pizza Hut and all these other things. You know, go buy the spigots and then you get to control what comes out of them.
That's it. No, and for whatever reason, maybe they're giving kickbacks to the people who buy, maybe they're giving a certain amount of money out of every cup that they sell or whatever. But there seems to be more people buying it. Right now, the 200 days at 110, you're at 111, so you're right on the number. The 50 days at 112, so you're right on the traffic zone here. Somewhere around this 110 area, you certainly would like to see any kind of selling stop. Right now, frankly, I would probably want it to stop going down and then take out that recent high. So, you know, if you could get back above the 120 area, which was January's high, no, the more recent high here, about 115, I guess, or so. If it got above the more recent high, and then I would probably use my stop underneath whatever low we're going to create now. So basically, you're having a pullback now, find out where that stops, and then if you can take out that recent high, use the recent low as your get-out point, and ride the train back up if it'll do that for you. The volume's been very good in the 50-day basis, 5.5 million versus 4.8. So, you know, the activity on the stock's been good. Again, you know, it had a 20% run this year from the low to the high almost. So I would say, like I say, right now, let's see if this pullback holds at the 110 level, and let's see if the recent highs around 115 or so can get taken out. And then you'd have a pullback behind you, and you'd have momentum ahead of you, and that might not be a bad time to take a shot.
All right, Larry, Coke or Pepsi? Before you do the chart, Coke or Pepsi, what do you think?
Oh, gosh, that's a good one. I like them both, but I always think about Pepsi for my grandmother's house. She always had Pepsi for some reason and not Coke, so it always brings back good memories. So I like Pepsi. And as far as the charts, I mean, it's just you've got layers of support down here, so I would just let this thing kind of drift down and see if it holds the support. So, again, you've got major support right where it is right here, 200-day moving average. And then you can see you've got these other moving averages down below. And then on the weekly, you've got this cluster of all these weekly moving averages. So it needs to hold here. You know, if it can hold this 110, it looks, you know, we'll see if it can consolidate, then push back up. But if it starts to break this level here, you can see this 382, 10, let's call it 109 to give it some room. Then, you know, you've got potential to push on down, maybe to 105. But right here, I would just be watching it like a hawk.
Like a hawk. All right. You know, Pepsi, pretty interesting. They just lost their CEO, right? 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And with nobody at the helm, they went and made a big acquisition for a healthier drink company. Have you guys stood at the drink cooler at the store lately, you know, to get a soda pop or something? It's like, what happened, right? Used to be, you know, fruit juice or pop, and then Snapple came out. Now it's like, how do you even choose? It's amazing the proliferation of brands and flavors and stuff. And a lot of competition for the cooler. And apparently Pepsi's trying to get into healthier drinks because everybody's figured out soda pop's not really that good for you. But I'm with Larry on the technical analysis here. I'd like to short it, but boy, it's sitting on some pretty hard support. So it's going to have to break through that. And then you got to see what the next level is, if there's any profit to be had there. So nothing there yet. And, you know, you got to keep watching it. It's got kind of a stair step of support levels that you just got to keep paying attention to. Well, hey, we're out of time. That's it. And we got through almost the whole list. We got, you know, 4/5 through the list. We did pretty good. And back at you. sound like we had a dog bark there. David, I'm going to turn it back to you to wrap us up, man.
Oh, you guys want to do a quick closing statement?
Why not?
Yeah, really. Real quick, for everybody who's listening here, for everybody who's out there listening today, this is Jim Kenny, and the Option Professor has a weekly update podcast. So if you'd like to get the link for that and be able to participate and check that out every week, we cover obviously a lot of different information and a lot of strategies. You know, when the markets are way high, you know, and you want to consider things like writing calls against your stock or doing collars where you sell a call and buy a put to bracket your stock, there's a lot of different strategies that come into play during certain setups. So if you email me over at optionprofessor@gmail.com, we can get you that link and you can start checking out the weekly podcast. Thanks a lot for being here, everybody. And thanks a lot, Dean, and everybody as well.
All right, Larry, final thoughts.
Yeah, thanks again, Dean and David, for having me again today. I always enjoy this. So if you want to come out and check out PowerCycle Trading, just go to powercycletrading.com and you can go to upcoming live events or webinars. Just click on that and you can see whatever, you know, live webinars we have coming up. So we've got a good one coming up this Saturday. So come check us out. Come visit us at powercycletrading.com. Got a lot of free educational material you can get as well. So again, thanks for having me, and good luck to everybody for their trading for the rest of the week.
Hey, you got to scroll down because I see this picture of a guy going to step on a banana peel. I don't know what the caption is. Come here and get tripped up? What? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Watch your feet.
Watch your feet.
Watch your step.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, well, hey, thanks, guys. And again, I'm Dean Jenkins, followmetrades.com. Here's a trade we took last week. We went long on Kronos, cannabis stock, got long at 714, took it up $12. So we got a home run on that one, nearly 100%. So if you want to get in on the next trade, they don't all do that, but once in a while we catch good ones like that. Come check it out here at followmetrades.com. We have a weekly stock pick service, stock advisory service, same things. I'm trading my own account with my own money. You can come hit the big green button, find out more about it. And if you just want to check out what I'm doing, sign up for my newsletter. It's free. Every week I give a market analysis and talk about my outlook. So love to have you come check it out. Dean Jenkins, followmetrades.com. And now, David Kosmider, back to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. I want to make sure everyone knows how to get in touch with you guys if after you gave them all this great analysis. Yeah. So just a reminder for everyone, please be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the archives for the shows. Let's see, the Crowd Forecast News show was off yesterday for the market holiday, but both shows will be back next week. So September 10th, Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, and for the next episode of Crowd Forecast News and the next episode of this show, September 11th, Tuesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And I want to thank my guests again for today. Dean Jenkins of followmetrades.com, Larry Gaines of powercycletrading.com, and Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thanks, David.